Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, last weekend's mass shooting at Toledo's Old West End Festival has everyone again asking the question, how to keep the public safe at large outdoor community gatherings, something our community has many of during the summer months. Also this morning, the Better Business Bureau is warning of a recent spike in employment scams. Local President CEO Lane Montz shares what you need to know to protect yourself from fraud. And want to get away? 50 North has a travel experience for whatever adventure you're seeking. We'll tell you what's happening. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, June 11th, 2026. So the World Cup begins today, just in case you missed it. It's been everywhere. He's talking about the World Cup, U.S. jointly hosting the tournament this year with Mexico and Canada, and the first game is actually in Mexico today. The U.S. will have their opener tomorrow, but the tournament begins today. This, I think, is maybe one of the most interesting stories of the World Cup, and there are a lot of them, and all kinds of narratives, but seven of the matches in the World Cup will be played in Boston. Okay. So officials in nearby Cape Cod, which is only a little more than an hour's drive away from Boston, are urging World Cup visitors to be aware of sharks. They don't want anybody getting eaten by a shark, you know, because people, you know, coming for the World Cup, they may, you know, take a little drive and go to Cape Cod. And so they want to make sure that people are safe. Visitors are being told to stay close to the shore and avoid swimming near seals. Sharks hunt for seals in shallow water. And beachgoers are also urged to follow the signs, follow the flags, warn you of dangerous conditions, obey lifeguard instructions, and all of that. But that would not be good. That would not be good if we have people come for the World Cup and end up getting eaten by sharks. So, but then I looked at that and I say, hey, you know, if we can't beat them on the pitch, the U.S. may not be able to win the World Cup on the field of competition. If we can't do that, we'll just eat them all. We'll have our sharks eat them all. Now. It's kind of an unusual thing, I thought. Let's see. What is so? The America 250 celebration right around the corner now, just less than a month away from the 4th of July, Independence Day. The state fire marshal sharing fireworks safety warnings with America's 250th birthday just weeks away. Now, remember, in Ohio, it is legal to use consumer fireworks around certain holidays, the 4th of July being one of them. And still, the fire marshal says that citizens should only buy fireworks from licensed retailers. You should stick to varieties that you are comfortable with and knowledgeable about using. And it is also important to note that although fireworks are legal to use under state law, many municipalities have banned them locally. The law does allow for communities to restrict or prohibit their use. So wherever you're going to set them off, make sure that it is legal to do so. Even though the state says yes, the city where you live or the city where you're visiting could say no. So, and that would trump the state law in this case. So that in mind. Did you see the video of the pickup truck in Tennessee? It was on I-75 in Tennessee, and I'm not sure exactly where, but a truck carrying fireworks caught fire, and the fireworks started going off, shooting in all directions. It was crazy. They had to block traffic in both directions on the interstate because, I mean, the fireworks going off. Can't really send the fire department in there to douse the flames until all of the fireworks are discharged. So everybody's kind of sitting there watching the truck burn and all of the fireworks go. It was crazy video. If you haven't seen that, so you don't want to get yourself into that situation for sure. A couple of health items among the first things you need to know this morning. The most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. A new study that was nearly 50 years in the making has pinpointed the age at which we start to decline physically. This is the story. A new study from Sweden pinpoints age 35 as the age when our physical strength and fitness start declining. Researchers tracked more than 400 people from age 16 to 63. Okay, so nearly half a century, most of their lives. And they found that fitness and strength levels dropped between 30 and 48% over that 50-year time frame. The decline follows a gradual pattern rather than a sudden drop, but it does accelerate as we age. Now, that's not really breaking news, is it? I mean, I think we all kind of inherently knew that we kind of decline over time. Women may experience muscle power decline slightly earlier than men, which is kind of interesting. They believe that could be due to hormonal changes like going through menopause. However, staying active throughout life significantly slows the process. Again, this is not necessarily breaking news. We kind of knew that. And even without the research, simple logic would say that if you stay active throughout your life, that would slow your physical decline. People who remain physically active or start exercising later can improve their physical capacity by 5 to 10% and experience slower decline rates. So again, even if you start exercising later, now it's never too late. Sedentary lifestyles accelerate losses in mobility, balance, and functional abilities like lawn care or cleaning. Although, to be fair, I'm not sure I mind it when it comes to lawn care or cleaning. If I can use that as an excuse to get out of those activities, I don't see that necessarily as a net negative. But regular exercise helps maintain independence and reduces the risk of falls as we age, too. So, you know, there is, I guess that's a good thing if it means I still have to take care of my lawn or clean my house. You know, that's why we sold our house. That's why we bought a condo. So we didn't have to do any of that stuff anymore. Well, we didn't have to do the lawn care. And when it comes to cleaning, it's a much smaller space. So it's less of a chore. Then I digress. So anyway, now we have research to back it up. I thought it was interesting. Age 35, that's when we really start to decline. Age 35. So now you know. And by the way, speaking of health, this was kind of an interesting health story too. It says low blood pressure is emerging as one of the main culprits in your chances of developing Alzheimer's. A study the American Heart Association Journal released earlier this week ties low blood pressure to about double the Alzheimer's risk in the U.S. and triple the odds in the U.K. Researchers reviewed roughly 800,000 adult health records in both countries, and what they found is that low blood pressure showed the strongest link in those who developed Alzheimer's. As I looked at all of the factors, low blood pressure came up more often than did high blood pressure. Also, more prevalent than stroke history or irregular heartbeat. So, low blood pressure. I don't know. That's certainly not as common as high blood pressure. A lot more people have high blood pressure, certainly in this country, than low blood pressure. But if you are among those who have been told by your doctor you have low blood pressure, you may be at greater risk for Alzheimer's, as it turns out. Kind of interesting. It's not a guarantee. Obviously, it's not a predictor with certainty, I guess, is the way I want to put that. But it is a stronger link. So something worth noting there. And how about this? Something to chew on. This is actually good news for those of us in the heartland here in this part of the country. More Americans are moving away from coastal areas of the country and moving into the Midwest. As the national cost of living continues to grow, this according to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, as the cost of living continues to grow, the Midwest, which, by the way, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, they define the Midwest as the states of Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. So that's the Midwest. And it is the only region in the country where every single state saw population growth between July of 2024 and July of 2025. So in this latest data, and that's actually good news for Ohio, which has been seeing population declines for a number of years, who actually saw population growth over the past year. And affordability appears to be the driving factor. A median home, a median priced home in the Cleveland area, for example, goes for about $237,000. That is almost half of the national average of $419,000. And the median home sale price in the Los Angeles area, almost $950,000. Wow. $950,000. So if you want to know why people are leaving coasts and coming back to the Midwest, certainly ain't for the weather. It's for the affordability. And that is pretty dramatic. So interesting stuff there. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Chance of showers and storms today, a high around 90. It'll feel even hotter with the heat index. Chance of showers tonight, a low around 70. The Ohio House of Representatives has passed the Amanda Dean Law, named for the 36-year-old mother of four who was killed by her boyfriend in Huron County in 2017.
Legislation was introduced back in January, just weeks after Frederick Rear was sentenced to 14 years for murder and gross abuse of a corpse. This new legislation aims to increase penalties for anyone convicted of that gross abuse of a corpse charge. Under current Ohio law, the charge is a fifth-degree felony, which only carries a sentence of 6 to 12 months in prison. If passed, penalties would increase across the board, and in the most extreme cases could carry a possible sentence of 2 to 8 years.
ONN's Dave Chodowski reporting that the legislation now goes to the Ohio Senate for consideration. People opposed to the redevelopment of the Shady Grove Golf Course property are circulating petitions in an attempt to put the issue to a referendum vote. Last week, Findlay City Council approved ordinances for the annexation and multifamily zoning of the Shady Grove property, which is on the south side of U.S. 224 and the southwest corner of the intersection with Township Road 237, just east of Findlay. A developer has plans to build 480 apartments on the property in two phases from this October through October 2031. Former Findlay City Councilwoman Holly Frischi was on with WFIN's Chris Oaks to talk about the effort to put the issue to a public vote, and you can listen to that full interview in this story on our website. The University of Findlay has received the Collegiate Purple Star designation for the first time. The designation recognizes colleges and universities for their efforts in supporting students with military backgrounds. Department of Higher Education Chancellor Mike Duffy says colleges and universities receiving the Purple Star designation have all done great work in supporting their military-connected students. See the full list of universities and colleges in Ohio that have received the Collegiate Purple Star designation in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news anytime at WFIN.com.
So our top story this morning, last weekend's mass shooting event at Toledo's Old West End Festival, has everyone again asking the question of how to keep the public safe at large outdoor community gatherings of which we certainly have many in our community. And joining us this morning is Lieutenant Andrew Welch from the Findlay Police Department. And obviously, you know, we've all heard the stories. Neither of us have any sort of any inside information as to what happened in Toledo over the weekend. But when you see something like that in the news, what's the first thing that goes through your mind?
Well, obviously, the first thing that comes to mind is how concerning something like that is, because it is, anytime you have a large group of people, there's need for safety and security. Unfortunately, this is something we deal with regularly in our world now, is instances of violence. And it's something that here at the Findlay Police Department, we pride ourselves on our ability to provide the best level of safety and security in those events at all times.
Obviously, it's always a concern when you have large numbers of people gathered, especially when it's an open admission that, you know, anyone can come. And obviously, you don't vet everyone who comes out to, you know, an event like this. What are some of the challenges to providing adequate security for a big event like this?
Well, I think the things that always come to the forefront of your mind are the unknowns. Obviously, you don't know how many people are going to show up. You don't know, as you just kind of alluded to, you don't know who's showing up. You don't know the different variables that may come into it. For example, weather could be an issue. It could be any number of things. So, you know, it's very difficult to plan for these. I will say that we do have many plans set in place. Obviously, I'm not going to get into much detail on what those would be, just for
right.
security of things, but
right.
it's something that we do take to heart, and we are very sure to do the best we can to ensure the safety of all.
It's one of those things that you can never really provide 100% foolproof security. I think of, you can't lock it down like you would an airport if for no other reason than you don't have a single point of entry in most of these instances. People can kind of come and go, and it's very difficult to, you can't like put everybody through a metal detector or something.
No, absolutely. There's a unique dynamic anytime you have an open air event like this. You hit it right on the head. There are no boundaries.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that you can come and go as you please. The routes to get in and out are endless, and you can only do so much. So, you know, just being proactive, making sure that much of this would be for the citizens. When you're there, make sure that you are doing your due diligence to be aware of your surroundings, I think, is probably the greatest thing that you could do for yourself.
Yeah. One of the things that we wanted to talk about is how attendees at these events can help in a couple of different ways. First of all, how do we help law enforcement better do their job of protecting the public at a big event like this?
I think it comes down to the basic stuff that you hear about and we teach about all the time is being aware. Awareness is something that is not as crisp as it used to be, we'll put it that way, with the devices that everybody has and seem to be kind of preoccupied with maybe the cell phone in their hands. So being situationally aware of your surroundings is paramount. You have to be able to be vigilant for yourself. You have to be able to see what's around you. See something, say something is kind of the old what we used to teach kids. If you see something and you think it's a concern, say something. I think that goes well here. If you do see something of concern, make the report, make that phone call, find that officer, do what you got to do to, don't just kind of explain it away. Mm-hmm. If there's more to it, let us look into it and let us do a little bit of an investigation. We'll kind of go from there.
Yeah. You hit on it. I think that is the one thing that prevents people from doing that is that they think, oh, I'm overreacting. Oh, it's nothing. It's my imagination running away with me. And I know how many times law enforcement officials said, we'd rather that be the case, that it turns out to be nothing, than for it to turn out to be something that wasn't reported and you find out too late.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the concern, is that if somebody does see something there, that exact thought, well, I'm overreacting, or the other big one is somebody else will report it. That's not something we can rely on. That's something that we have to be willing to be that first part of communication to pass it up to that chain, you know, find that officer, make that phone call, give the information that you can and go from there.
And as you were touching on, so important to be situationally aware to protect yourself. I mean, it's one thing, obviously, helping law enforcement mitigate any threats, but also to protect yourself and your loved ones is incredibly important. And you have to be aware of what's going on in order to do that, be proactively safe.
Yeah, even the best law enforcement response is not going to be an immediate thing. So being situationally aware of your surroundings and what's happening immediately in your area is going to allow you that jump on things to get to a safe location or just remove yourself from a situation that maybe is going sideways.
As you mentioned, we don't want to get into details as to what goes into securing events like this. That would obviously be prudent to keep that under wraps. But I would imagine that there are certain, I guess, protocols that are standard within the law enforcement profession or the law enforcement industry. To what extent do you look at events like what we saw over the weekend in Toledo and use that as a learning tool to develop additional protocols or, you know, learn new things about better ways of protecting the public? I mean, do you kind of deconstruct that in the postmortem of an investigation into something like that?
So we look at all those all the time, anywhere across the country. If you have an event like that, that takes place, and when it comes out, what happened and you learned the details, it would be a huge disservice to the city if we didn't look into that and learn from it. So that's one thing that we've done from, you know, smaller gathering situations to the large scale stuff. We always try to find a takeaway that we can learn from somewhere else, because you never know what's going to happen. It's one of those things that you can plan, but when something like this does happen somewhere else, use that as a learning tool for your, in our case, our officers, to make sure that we can be the best prepared we can in the event that a situation does occur.
And of course, none of this is meant to dissuade people from attending these community events. I mean, that's what makes for a community. And we certainly take pride in all of the opportunities that people have to gather in our community. We would certainly hate to see that opportunity being taken away.
Absolutely. You never want to encourage anybody to quit living just because of something that occurred. It, you know, it is relatively close to where we are and, you know, proximity. But there again, we still got to enjoy ourselves. We still got to go out and have a good time and enjoy these functions. And that's what makes Findlay great, to be honest, is the fact that we have all these different open air opportunities to go out and just get to know one another and have community functions. So I definitely don't want to dissuade anybody from doing that.
Certainly good to know that the Findlay Police Department and other law enforcement agencies locally are on top of these things to the best of their ability and keeping us all safe. But again, to reinforce, we all have a role to play in that. Again, Lieutenant Andrew Welch, the Findlay Police Department, with us this morning. We appreciate your insight. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great morning.
Well, the Better Business Bureau is warning of a recent spike in employment scams. Joining us this morning is local BBB President CEO Lane Montz to share what you need to know to protect yourself from fraud. And Lane, first of all, who is most frequently targeted in these types of scams? Are there certain segments of the population, or is it pretty much anyone looking for work?
Can I say everyone, Chris? So, you know, a lot of scams do, we say that they target older people, and that's true. But these are particularly scammed at everybody, but especially at the younger generation, the Gen Z. Mm-hmm. And the reason is they respond to texts, they use texts, and a lot of these come through text. And the side hustle has become sort of an earmark of their generation, right? You have a job, but then you get a side hustle that you can work from home or work from your car and pick up extra cash. So they're motivated for these kinds of fake jobs.
And I would imagine they're also maybe a little less experienced when it comes to navigating the job market and may not immediately recognize some of the warning signs.
Well, yeah, the way the methodology works is it is going to suggest like online application, online interview, but maybe not with a camera. And these are things that that the younger generation in that age group is familiar with. I mean, most job seekers today do go through an online interview process.
Right.
It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're preconditioned if that's what you're getting at.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about the various types of scams. You mentioned some of them. What are generally do you see? What form do you see these scams take?
Well, they can come in by email. They can come in by phone call, like a AI voice phone call, recorded phone call to get started. But mostly they come in the form of unsolicited, unexpected text saying, a common one is to pose as an HR department or a recruiter and say your background and resume have been recommended by multiple online recruitment agencies. We'd like to offer you a remote online part-time job. And it's, you know, the pay is supposedly great. The benefits are amazing. It sounds great. And some jobs do exist out there. So there's a little kernel of truth about it that helps lend credibility and make it a fairly effective scam. And when we say that they've been on the rise recently, the truth is they more than doubled in 2025.
Wow.
And they're still on the rise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're, it's a very common scam.
And I would imagine that, again, going back to the susceptibility of younger folks, especially you've got new grads who are kind of flooding the job market right now and are probably sending out a lot of resumes or applying for a lot of positions and, you know, that kind of thing. So they may not see this as coming out of the blue necessarily.
Yeah, just like around the holidays when we order more items online for home delivery than ever.
There you go.
And so we're already expecting legitimate purchases.
Mm-hmm.
So they can mix in the fake shipping scams as well.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. You're correct. They're already out there interviewing, sending jobs. That generation is pretty common to always be interviewing and always hoping to find something a little bit better. I guess maybe I was the same way, but I didn't have technology to help. But,
yeah.
You know.
So how do we spot them? What are some of the red flags that will tell you that this is a scam or at the very minimum proceed with caution? Because you know, some of the characteristics of what ultimately as a scam can also, like you said, you're kind of alluding to, some of these jobs do in fact exist. So how do we parse out what is not legitimate?
Yep. So the first one is, was it expected or unexpected? Did you prompt it? Is it a company you recognize or is it just out of the blue and it doesn't mention a specific company? If it's a generalized so-called great opportunity that you get in the email, the text, or a phone call, and you didn't do anything to prompt it, and you don't know who it is, that's a big one. Second one, the terms sound too good to be true. They could be true. I wouldn't bet on it. You know, they might be. I hope they are. But if they're too good to be true, lots of pay, part-time, total freedom, lots of benefits, those just really, I'm sorry to say, they're not out there in the real world with all of those things.
Yeah.
Another one, high pressure. Another one, you are asked to give private information, including financial bank account information, and you're told that you have to prepay taxes or they're going to make a test deposit in your account. Those things do not happen in a real job interview situation. If you have to pay money to get a job, that's not a job.
Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Yeah. Again, talking to folks who may not be as familiar with just getting into the job market may not immediately recognize that as a warning sign if they've not done it before. They've not gone through the process before.
I've been around the block a while. I've had a few jobs in my career, you know, going back to college and forward. And none of them, folks, required me to pay things first.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of the reverse direction of how it's supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is if you're supposedly being interviewed, but the interviewer doesn't turn on a camera, you can't see them. So those are some big things. Again, unprompted, too good to be true, high pressure, You're supposed to pay something up front. You have to give personal information, including banking information, up front. And let me say, Chris, and I think this is important, you know, this is a morning show, so a lot of younger people are not as apt to listen to morning shows as a little bit of an older demographic. I'm just saying.
Right.
Right. And so this is a situation where adults, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles that are listening to your program, they can play a part in protecting the younger people in their family circle and their friends and family circle by just being educated and aware, like what you're doing here,
right,
and passing the word along.
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question. What do we do if, you know, we think that something may be a scam, you know, if we're confronted with one of this or someone we know is confronted with one of these things?
Well, if someone we know is confronted and comes to help, you know, just being a sounding board, a second set of ears and a second set of eyes is actually very valuable. If you're the one who's getting the message, you just really need to think very hard before you click that link. And if there's any way to do independent research first, you should do it. You should do it. Try to find a posting for it. Is it out there somewhere on the internet already? Never, never pay to get a job. Never give your bank account information to get a job. Even if they have you sign a so-called legitimate looking contract, and some of these scams, they proceed in steps, Chris, they proceed in steps. And one of the steps sort of in the middle will be, hey, here's your contract and you sign it and it'll be electronically signed. Even if you sign that, that's not necessarily an indicator that it's legitimate. And if you're, again, if you're asked to pay some sort of a money, you've been scammed, get out of there. Don't engage anymore.
Yeah.
And there are certain jobs, shipping, so-called shipping of packages or being a forward shipper where you're going to coordinate shipping, but you're not actually going to touch any packages. Well, that can be done automatically. That doesn't need an intermediary anymore.
Yeah.
And that's probably fake. Things where you're supposed to like things online or do reviews, some of them are legitimate, but most of them are not.
Yeah.
So well, if you're supposed to watch videos or whatever, watch out for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you were touching on this earlier. The other question that I'm curious about, what is the end game here? What are they hoping to get out of this? Is it money? Is it, personal information so that they can steal your identity? What is the end game?
Yeah, it's both. So money now and money later. Money now and money later, right? If they can't get the money now, but they get information, they can get the money later.
Yeah.
And they can get the money or they can sell that private information, that bank account information. They can sell it to somebody else on the black market and they can get your money. So it's always in the end about money, money now or money later.
Yeah. And again, really important too, that this may be, as you were saying, this may be something that evolves over several interactions rather than just somebody hitting you up once and then disappearing. Just because there has been a quote unquote follow up doesn't necessarily make it legitimate, because these things can evolve into a bigger master plan. So again, just because there's a follow up doesn't mean that it's any more legitimate. All really important stuff. And we have a link. You've got more information on how to spot these scams, a database of the known scams that are out there on your website, right?
So the Better Business Bureau National System, BBB.org, has tons of resources. Sometimes you have to click other links and go to other pages because there are so many resources.
Yeah.
BBB.org has a ton. BBB.org/Toledo is a sub page, and we have a ton. Let me tell you, I'll make a plug for a program. I don't talk about it too much, Chris, but I should talk about it more. And that's the BBB Scam Tracker. Catchy little name. Mm-hmm. And that is a function. That's an application or a widget on our page where you can actually look at the scams going on state by state, including Ohio. You can drill down, see the top scams that are going on, see which ones are have been reported. And here's the most important part. You can report a scam. You can look up a scam. You can just see the heat map of what's going on where. I like the first one the most. I'd like to engage the citizen army of anti-scammers, right? Because WFIN and Chris Oaks and Lane Montz and the BBB and all the police chiefs and sheriffs around, even that's not enough. And the really the way to beat the scams is to engage the populace. And with Scam Tracker, you can report a scam that you know about, that it happened to you. It doesn't have to have been completed. Somebody could have tried. You could have stopped them.
Right.
But the more that people engage with Scam Tracker on BBB and report things, the more information we have to pass along to everybody, and the better educated our community will be.
We've got a link to that on our webpage, so you can check that out online at goodmornings.net. Once again, Lane Montz with the Toledo chapter of the Better Business Bureau. Thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. And hi to my family and friends in Findlay and at Hancock County. Thanks for having me on.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM. We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
In Los Angeles, Kenneth Bass and his wife have filed a lawsuit against the city after losing their Malibu home in the Palisades fire. They claim they were injured from smoke inhalation and suffered severe emotional distress, annoyance, and mental anguish. I mean, it's very serious. You know, they lost their home, but to sue for annoyance. Are we suing or taking people to court now because they've annoyed us? Anyway, so they've sued for emotional distress, annoyance, and mental anguish. It is one of thousands of lawsuits and legal complaints filed by property owners after the deadly fire in January of last year. What is interesting about this particular lawsuit is that Kenneth Bass is the brother of Mayor Karen Bass. The mayor's brother has filed a lawsuit over the Palisades fire. And as it happens, if you follow, you know, if you've been following the story, the mayor has faced widespread criticism over the city's handling of the wildfire. It has become a huge issue in her reelection campaign this year. It turns out even her brother has filed a lawsuit over the whole thing. Kenneth Bass, though, said he expressed support for his sister's reelection campaign. But he's suing anyway. That's got to make for some very interesting and awkward family moments at the summer family reunion, wouldn't you think? You know, at family holiday gatherings and so on. Yeah, I would think so. But I support a re-election campaign, absolutely. On the other coast in New York City, 23-year-old Jason Taylor allegedly stole a payment machine from a dry cleaner in Manhattan and then fled into Central Park. It's like a payment machine. It's like an automatic payment machine. Kind of like an ATM, but you put the money in to pay for, you know, your dry cleaning. Anyway, so apparently he got the bright idea to steal the payment machine from the dry cleaner in Manhattan and then fled into Central Park. He then apparently decided to channel his inner action hero and jump into the lake in the Harlem Mere Lake in Central Park. Maybe to get away from whoever was, you know, people who were chasing him, decided to jump into the lake. The watery escape attempt did not go so well for Mr. Taylor, who, according to police, had to be rescued from the lake. Maybe he figured out that it's kind of tough to swim when you're in possession of this, you know, big machine, this electronic payment machine, kind of weighs you down there a little bit. So he had to be rescued from the lake. Video posted on social media shows the suspect wrestling with responders in the water before he was corralled. Took three people to corral him and drag him out of the lake. Pulled from the lake by medics and transported to the hospital. No word on what happened to the payment machine. Not a real well thought out plan, actually. I mean, where did he think he was going to go? I mean, it's a lake in the middle of the park, in the middle of, you know, like the biggest city in one of the biggest cities in the world. It's not like he was jumping into the ocean. He was going to swim, you know, to Canada or something, you know. You're not really going to escape. Once you jump into the lake, there aren't a whole lot of places you can go. And yeah, by the way, the cops can swim. Yeah, so it was doomed from the start. Let's see here. A Walmart shopper in Valdosta, Georgia is recovering after being shot in the leg while shopping. That would be a little wild. Police say the incident happened on Tuesday when a gun being carried by another shopper accidentally discharged. I'm not sure exactly how that happens, but you know, you pass someone in the aisles at Walmart, and apparently this guy was carrying a gun. It shot, or it went off and shot this shopper in the leg. Authorities say they are still investigating the circumstances of the incident, but there is no immediate threat to the public. Authorities say the injury is non-life-threatening, so you know, we can chuckle about it. The victim is going to be fine, but I'd imagine the other. There's no immediate threat to the public because I would guess because that shopper has you know been asked to leave and not come back. Can you imagine? That's a story to tell. You get home from your shopping trip. What happened to you? Well, I was shot in the leg. Our daily dose of weirdness out of Florida. 59-year-old woman from Vero Beach was arrested for repeatedly stealing banana chips from a local supermarket near her home. Repeatedly stealing bananas. She's a serial banana chip stealer. Annette Nichols allegedly took several $6.49 bags of banana chips on multiple occasions over several weeks, totaling about $300 in stolen merchandise. The deli manager of the supermarket reported the thefts to police, noting he had to limit banana chip stock due to the ongoing theft. See, everybody loses. Shoplifting costs everybody. The supply of banana chips had to be rationed because they were disappearing. When confronted, Ms. Nichols confessed, and police found 13 bags of banana chips in her car stolen from multiple locations. So they hit the mother load, the banana chip mother load. Ms. Nichols, who, by the way, works as an accountant, was charged with theft. So, I don't know. Maybe she was just trying to inject a little excitement into her life. I mean, you know, accountants sometimes, you know, that can be a bit of a boring, you know, redundant type of job, you know, very mundane, routine job. So inject a little excitement into your life, I guess. And finally, in the broken news this morning, back to California, where members of the oldest profession in Silicon Valley are charging up to $6,000 an hour, not for the standard services that you would expect from ladies of the evening, but rather by specializing in technology discussions. This is, apparently that's very exciting for the folks in Silicon Valley. This is according to a report in Forbes. This is not some, you know, bizarre, you know, alternative reporting here. This is in Forbes reporting on this. These nerd-first escorts, as they're called, offer fluent conversations about AI, cryptocurrency, and other tech topics alongside the traditional services that escorts may provide, of course. But it is the conversation that is in high demand. One such woman, one escort who goes by the name Ada Hopper, posts about AI on social media to attract clients. She describes encountering AI bros who are surprised by her knowledge of the technology. The escorts serve tech geeks who have profited from stock and startup growth but seek authentic human connection beyond dating apps and chatbots. One client's overnight session, it was an all-night session, but involved no hanky-panky, just minimal physical contact, focusing instead on playful, nice conversation. Charlie Levine, another ex-escort, predicts that authentic human connection will become increasingly rare as AI advances. She believes affording genuine human contact will become the ultimate luxury and the ultimate aphrodisiac in the future. If that isn't the most bleak outlook of the future I've ever heard, I don't know what is. If that's our future, just kill me now. That's what we have come to, that escorts are now focusing on tech conversations now instead of, well, you know. There you go. That's the world we live in. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Vlentz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. My wife and I went grocery shopping yesterday, and so when this popped up on the newswire, I thought this was really interesting. It is a new YouGov survey that finds there are stark differences in grocery habits between wealthy and middle to lower income Americans, which is maybe not a surprise, but the differences in some cases may be a little surprising. Higher income shoppers are twice as likely to choose Costco as their primary grocery store. 11% of high income shoppers shop Costco the most, compared to 5% of other income groups that say Costco is their number one store. Meanwhile, Walmart dominates among middle and lower income Americans. 20% shop at Walmart first and most often versus 8% that shop first and most often at Walmart for wealthy shoppers. Spending patterns show even bigger gaps. Half of higher income Americans spend over $150 weekly on groceries, compared to just 28% of other income groups. So, kind of interesting. Higher income Americans represent only 10% of the population, but drive a massive portion of overall consumer spending. Back to some of the numbers where people are shopping. Again, we talked Costco, we mentioned Walmart. Kroger, you will see equal numbers of high and middle income shoppers at Kroger. 10% of each group do most of their shopping there. And Aldi is nearly equal. This was a bit of a surprise to me. Aldi is nearly equal. 6% of higher income Americans will shop there first and most often, and 7% of middle income Americans perusing the aisles at Aldi most often. So, wealthy shoppers also visit stores more frequently, with 34% shopping several times a week versus 25% for lower income groups. And that, again, I thought might be reversed, that instead of going out and spending a lot of money on one big grocery trip, lower income individuals would shop, would buy fewer things more often. But it's actually the other way around. So I thought that was kind of interesting. There's a YouGov survey on Americans' grocery habits, where we're shopping and how much we're spending. Well, if you're looking to get... Let's try that again. Take two. If you're looking to get away this summer or beyond, 50 North has travel experiences for whatever kind of adventure you are seeking. Carolyn Kopas is with us from 50 North. Very good morning to you. Before we get into travel, really quickly, I want to mention with this heat, the extreme heat, both yesterday and again today, is another heat advisory. If someone is in need of a place to go that's cool, you have just the thing. You've got always got things going on. People can hang out at 50 North.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are always open to people who need to get out of that heat, and it's a great place to come. You get to meet new people, socialize, and maybe even enjoy a good meal or a free activity.
Yeah. And maybe meet a travel companion. Who knows? Let's talk a little bit about travel, because this is a big part of what you do. You've got a lot of great opportunities to, as we said, get away really any day, year round.
You know, the first thing that when you ask people when they retire, what do they want to do? And the first thing is they want to travel. And when I first started over 13 years ago, that was one of the things people said to me is, can we renew and grow our day trips on our extended trips? And so it's something that we've learned. We learn every trip that we take and make it better for our travelers. And, you know, group travel is something where you can feel safe. When there's group travel, the cost of it is going to be less expensive just because of the sheer number of people going mm-hmm. and the discounts that we can get. You get to know somebody new. You get to learn something new and go someplace different. So there's so many benefits. It keeps you active. There's just so many benefits to travel other than just the experience itself.
Yeah. Now, I was looking at a number of the day trips that you have on the schedule throughout 2026, not just during the summer, but as we mentioned, you know, throughout the year, you do this periodically. And it looks like most of them, if not all of them, are pretty much filled up at this point. So how quickly do these fill up? And if someone is interested, how soon do they have to jump on these when they are announced?
So the interesting thing with day trips is that the venues don't like to schedule out too far in advance. So we'll be announcing our day trips for next year for 2027 at the end of September. We'll have the information out, and then a week later we'll have a meeting and start signing people up. And really, if you're interested, you need to come to that event and also, or at least to sign up that night, the next day, for the next week. The only trip that we don't have sold out, and we did an Ohio State tour of the stadium, and our Michigan fans wanted a trip. Unfortunately, that trip is not sold out yet. So okay. All you Ohio State fans who really want to see the back scenes of what happens at University of Michigan Stadium, you should check it out because you want to know what's going on with the competition.
Are there any restrictions? Are we prohibited from wearing our Ohio State gear if we're going on that trip?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Just to make sure we
I don't know what will happen to you once you get there. I can't take that responsibility, but absolutely wear your color.
Yeah, a lot of day trips, again, opportunities to go. I mean, talk about some of the things that you've done on day trips before, just again, for the benefit of those who don't and who don't know. Sure. And like I said, most of these are already sold out for this year, but just to keep this in mind for future reference.
Yeah, I mean, today they're at the Wilds. They got up and left this morning at 6:30. They went to have lunch or breakfast. They're going to go see the animals. Then they'll have another experience at a museum and have dinner, and then they'll come home. But we do. Trains are very popular. River boats, the boats are popular. Anything to get people outside, the Amish. Mm-hmm. We're going to the Malabar farms. We've gone to the Covered Bridge and had a lunch and traveled to see the covered bridges. They're just very unique experiences. We've gone into Indiana as well as Michigan to do some trips. Of course, our Lock Media, those trips where it's a dinner theater is always popular. And so we typically have three of those. We do a mystery trip, and I think we're going to do two next year because those really sell out fast. Okay. So, we have our day trips, but then we also have our extended trips.
Yeah. Now, the extended trips are, some of these are really, really cool. And there are still opportunities to sign up for this year on some of those extended trips, are there not?
We have a trip that we added, a river cruise. River cruising is very popular in Europe. And so we added a trip. We have 7 spots open. It's that you fly into Prague and then you get on a river cruise on Budapest, at Budapest, Hungary. You get to go to Slovakia and then Vienna.
Wow.
I've been to a couple of those places. It's a must see. It's a fabulous price. And so that's at the end of this year in December 4th. But other than that, the majority, the rest of our trips are sold out for extended. So most of our extended trips sell out as well. We have 10 trips going out next year. We'll be having a travel meeting on Winter in Yellowstone National Park, which I just think is going to be fabulous. Oh, we go on a snow coach. We're going to go on a sleigh ride.
Wow.
And you get to see a lot of animals with not a lot of tourists. And you get to see all the places that you would normally see with Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And then we also are going to be highlighting in that July meeting, the Danube. So we're going on the Rhine next week. We leave for that trip. If you've gone on the Rhine, you've got to go on the Danube. Those are two of the big river cruises. And then in August, we're going to have another travel show that's going to highlight. We're doing 3 U.S. trips. We're doing 3 European trips. We're doing a couple trips in Canada and then river cruising. And one of the United States trips, and by popular demand, is the Alaska land and cruise trip.
Wow. So like we said at the outset, for whatever kind of adventure you are seeking, you've got some, whether you're just looking to stay fairly close to home, go to a dinner theater, or travel the world, literally, you've got something for everyone. Now, these are open to any member of 50 North, right?
I mean, we have to sign you up to get you in our database.
Right.
So anybody who's 50 and older can go. If there's someone who needs a caregiver or someone to go with them and they're younger than 50, they are allowed to go to assist with them. We also have a lot of friends or family that don't live in Hancock County that will go. They just have to pay that out of county fee.
Okay.
So it's fair to our local folks who pay, you know, the property taxes.
Right.
So it's open. And because we have, 500 spots available with our extended trips, typically if we do sell out on a trip, and not everybody is able to get on it, this year we added another bus that is going to Vermont to New Hampshire. So sometimes we can do that if something's sold out so that nobody's left out.
Okay. So really quickly, if folks want more information on how to get signed up or get more information on these trips, what's the best way of doing that?
Visit our website. We do have general, we have most of the information that we have here at our office. But if visit our website at 50north.org or stop into our 50 North, right in the lobby area, we have all of our trips. Janet Williams is our travel concierge. She's there to answer any questions. So or give us a call.
All right. Very good. Again, Carolyn Kopus with Findlay North with this morning talking travel experiences that are available through 50 North. And there are a lot of them for, like we said, whatever it is that you're looking for. Great stuff there. Carolyn, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Have a great day. Stay cool.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Once again, a reminder, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well. We thank you for that. Coming up tomorrow on the program, remembering legendary University of Findlay football Hall of Fame coach Dick Strong. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.